This segment of the podcast is sponsored by Traveling Nice Experiences, here to help you create new memories one experience at a time. Contact Traveling Nice Experiences at www.travelingniceexperiences.com to book your summer 2021 travel. Once again, that's www.travelingniceexperiences.com. We're ready to help you create your next memorable experience.
Previously on the What a Word podcast.
But I believe that lesson taught me several things. So number one, life isn't always fair. And there is definitely injustice in the world. And sometimes, no matter how good you are, how much you study, how much you do the things you're supposed to do, sometimes things just are not going to go your way. So that was a lesson that I learned early on. The second thing was that in the light of understanding that things might not always go your way, you as a person can always take action. So for example, me being spurred to now go around bothering people in my neighborhood, asking them to sign, that was action that I could take on my own behalf. And so that gave me a sense of power that even when things aren't going my way, even when things didn't seem fair, I could always do something about it. And the third thing I learned from that was that even when you do take action, the circumstances still might not change, and that's okay. But what changes is you. And even when you fight for something and you ultimately lose, it didn't mean that the fight didn't matter or whatnot. But in taking action and in creating movement within, you're actually changing yourself. And that's something that, you know, I've had to come to grips with in the context of fighting immigration. You know, there are lots of laws there that are not fair. Or sometimes I thought, you know, this is a case we should win in court and we didn't. So those are definitely lessons that I learned from a very early time. That got me into thinking about unfairness and inequality and justice and how I can be a part of that.
You are listening to the What a Word podcast, an interview style podcast where guests bring their unique experiences and insight on culture, life's challenges, and faith. Each episode is seasoned with words which will inspire and encourage. Now, here is your host, Ryan Sharp.
Welcome to the What a Word podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Sharp. What a powerful word we received from my former guest, attorney Bridget Bennett. She spoke about her journey and the role as an immigration advocate. And I think she laid out perfectly some of the challenges and tensions we will deal with in life, even as we aspire towards our goals. A powerful word, and I hope that you enjoyed it as much as I did. My guest today is Dr. Kathy Ann Dennis Yawingu. I'm honored to have her as a guest. She's a wife, a mother of four, and an internal medicine physician. She's always been fascinated by the human body and how marvelously it works. This fascination led her to medical school, where she learned not only the body's physiology, but its pathology and related pharmacology. As she treated patients day in and day out with chronic diseases, she realized that few were being cured of their ailments. We will discuss her journey towards lifestyle change. She is inspired to share her journey with others, and she is keen on positive lifestyle changes and how they maintain health. She has shared this information with her patients over and over again and seen marvelous improvements in their physical exam, lab results, and overall well-being. Please join me in welcoming my guest, Dr. Kathy, to the What a Word podcast. Welcome, Dr. Kathy and Dennis Yawingu.
Yes, you got it, Ryan. Thank you. Thank you. It's great to be with you.
I am honored to have you here. I've observed your work for some time, and as listeners will gather soon, we are friends who we have a rich history in terms of our upbringing. So I want to talk about your history and your own journey. You seem to have developed an interest early in the human body and the way it works. When did you first learn that you wanted to go into the area of medicine? How early was that?
You know, I remember very clearly my biology class in high school. I went to Immaculate Conception in Jamaica, and it was an all-girls high school. It was well known for the rigor in academics, and I was in biology class. I remember my teacher very well. She was in the front of the class, and she began to teach us about the body and how it worked. And I was riveted. I was just completely in awe at how everything worked together. The cell, each compartment of the cell with its own function, and they're all working individually yet corporately, and then each cell helping the organ to do its job, and then the organs helping the body to really keep active. And I just fell in love with the human body, and I knew that I had to do something with biology. I wasn't sure what. I didn't know what biologists did, but it had to be with the human body. And as I continued in high school and then got to freshman year, I knew that I wanted to help people feel better. You know, I loved people. I didn't like to see sickness. I didn't like to see people suffering with disease. And so it kind of came together. Okay, the human body, helping people, making them feel better. How can I put these together? And medicine seemed like the perfect fit. You know, some folks ask, well, why didn't you do nursing? You know, because nursing, you help people, you're by their bedside. But I knew I wanted to kind of be the one to help the patient make the decision for their overall health. I wanted to really play a more leadership role in the healthcare of each individual. So that's why I chose medicine. And to be honest with you, I believe that I was created for this purpose because I thoroughly enjoy medicine and the science of how the body works and can function at its best.
And give us a sense of your journey, because medicine is a broad field. How did you find your lane in terms of matching and residency? How did that come about?
Yeah, yeah. You know, that can be so challenging for us at times to figure out where is our niche in life? What should we be doing and where do we belong? How can we make the most impact? And I am now convinced that we make the most impact when we are doing what we love to help others. And so as I was trying to figure out in medicine, where do I go? Am I going to be a surgeon? At first, I thought I wanted to be a neurosurgeon. I was like, yeah, I want to be like Ben Carson. You know, that's when his book first came out. And I was like, yeah, surgeon. But when I went into the OR, oh my goodness, I did not enjoy that experience. I just could not stand having to scrub down every second and when all that confining attire. I did not like surgery. And so I said, okay, maybe I'll go into radiology, you know. So, but as I tried the different areas in medicine, I realized what I didn't like very quickly. And so I had to keep thinking, what am I good at? Why am I here? How can I make the most impact? I realized I loved people. I wanted to be able to speak to people and have a relationship with people. So I couldn't do emergency medicine where you come in and then you go. I had to know what happened, what's going to happen next. So it had to be a relationship. And I wanted to really develop lifelong experiences with my patients. And so I realized internal medicine was where I belonged. And when I picked that, I wanted to specialize. I wanted to be an expert in one area where everybody could know that this is what she knows very, very well. And so I chose rheumatology. And that's the area where you treat arthritis and autoimmune conditions. And I'm telling you, I really enjoy rheumatology. it's been my niche. And not everybody can do it. My husband says, oh, that's so boring. I can never do rheumatology. But for me, I love it. And that's where God wanted me to be.
That is powerful. You have identified that this is the area that you loved probably more than the others. And your journey, as you explicitly stated on your bio, is to help others make daily positive lifestyle choices. Did you see a tension in practice in terms of what medicine could do for individuals versus, and we'll get more into it, where you are now in terms of personal lifestyle choices?
Ryan, that was the pivot in my career because I love medicine. I think medicine is a wonderful field. There are so many advancements that have changed lives, and I think it's essential. But to be honest with you, as I began seeing my patients and, you know, diagnosing them and writing their prescriptions and giving them medicines, I noticed that they weren't really getting better. I was kind of putting a Band-Aid on a sore that would never heal. And I said, after, it took me years to realize this, because at first I thought, oh yes, I'm doing a great thing. I'm giving all these meds, I'm helping everybody. But nobody was being cured, or I should say very few were being cured. And they just kept coming back for more medicines. And then they would have side effects. And so I'd have to treat the side effects with different medicines. And I said, what is going on here? I wanted to help people get better, but I'm kind of helping them kind of limp along. And when I learned about lifestyle implementation to treat and reverse disease, I was blown away. Because first of all, I'm like, these things are too simple. You know, how can walking treat anything? How can drinking water make a difference? You know, big deal, sugar never hurt anybody. But when I reviewed the science behind these simple strategies, these simple lifestyle interventions, I said, wow, these things work. Then when I tried it on myself, Ryan, that was when I became convinced. When I use lifestyle changes on myself, I was able to shed a lot of weight. I went from a size, what was I, up to size 20 at my highest, down to a size 6. Then I noticed that, you know, my skin cleared up. I was like, whoa, I didn't need all those medicines for my skin. Then I realized my joint pains went away. So when I became my first patient for lifestyle changes, then I realized, this is how I can help people really achieve optimal health. And that's been my passion ever since I had my eyes opened.
Was it as a way of introduction to lifestyle changes? How did you, because now you're doing mostly plant-based. Mm-hmm. It's, who introduced you to that? How did that evolution come about?
You know, Ryan, I have always been a vegetarian. When I was 9 years old, I saw this documentary in my living room in Jamaica of these cows dying of mad cow disease. And I said, what? That's what I'm eating? I don't want to eat those cows that are sick and dying. So at 9 years old, I told my mom, I do not want to eat meat anymore. Can I please stop eating meat? And she said, yeah, no problem. We'll support you. So from 9 years old, I didn't eat any meat. But I was still a very processed vegetarian, meaning I ate a lot of processed food. I was always having candies and cookies and cakes and chips and pizza. I just figured not eating meat was enough. But I was still gaining weight, having acne, you know, having constipation. I wasn't really healthy, but I didn't know what else to do. And the epiphany came, Ryan, when a very good friend of mine, Leroy Daly, he's Pastor Leroy Daly, called me one day and asked me if I would help him on something called a Daniel's diet. And I was like, what's a Daniel's diet? And he explained to me that I had to eat food that was completely unprocessed, only plants, for about 10 to 30 days, and help him to encourage other people to do this. And at first I was like, you know, I didn't really understand, how am I going to eat unprocessed? You know, what is that? Everything I eat is from this, you know, it's processed. But I said, okay, Pastor, I will try. And as I tried and as I learned over, you know, those days, how to make my own almond milk, how to make my own granola, how to just eat fruits and vegetables, make my own salad dressings, that's when these changes began to occur in me. And I realized how much better I felt, that my joints weren't hurting me. You know, I was losing weight. I was feeling great. And that was the turning point. So I will forever be indebted to Pastor Leroy Daly for that call on that day. And I know that was God who sent him to find me and ask me to help him with that initiative.
How was it in terms of your palate? Because I think the criticism with any healthy lifestyle change is that what tastes good isn't good for you. But do you have a counter to that?
You know, I think that is unfortunately a very widely stated, I won't say a misconception, but I think it is a misconception, because we think that what's good for us doesn't taste good, but it's such the contrary. Food that loves you back tastes great, because that's food that was designed by the master designer. That's what he intended for us to eat, to look and feel our best. And so when you think about a juicy mango, you know, that is one of the most pleasant experiences somebody can have. And that is an unprocessed, wonderful item. When you have things like a wonderful baked sweet potato, and you know, you have it with some nice hummus and some awesome steamed broccoli. I mean, that is good food, Ryan. And the wonderful part is you feel a nice fullness. You're not like, oh, I'm so full, I feel horrible. And you can move, you can think. I mean, who would not want to have boundless energy, Ryan, and just be able to think clearly and to feel good? I think we all want that. We just don't always know how to get it.
In terms of your own family, I know you have four boys. Mm-hmm. Did you start the plant-based journey before all four were born, or was there a transition with any of the children?
Yes. So I began this unprocessed, unrefined, whole food, plant-based lifestyle 6 months into my first son. So 6 months after having him, that's when I began it. So I was able to take him and the other children along on that journey. And I have to say, I'm so grateful to my husband for his support, because he is a meat eater, and he could have easily said, you know, no, the kids have to have meat. But he never said that for a day. He supported my desire to have them be completely plant-based. He understood that it was a fine and healthy diet for children. And he has supported me all along. Now, even though he's a meat eater, he is essentially unprocessed, because you can be an unprocessed person with minimal meat intake. So what I mean is, he doesn't eat chips and cookies and candy and pies. He eats yams, you know, whole grains, lot of vegetables, and he has his side of meat. And that's another option, you know, folks have. I just choose not to have any meat, and my kids don't have any meat also.
So it seems to me that a plant-based diet in terms of lifestyle choice is not only physical, but there's also a thought process that gets one to the point of agreeing that, and you've amplified some of it for us, that having unprocessed food, etc., is better holistically for individuals. Could you amplify for listeners what a transition to a full plant-based diet would mean in terms of lifestyle choice?
Yes, sure, sure. So the first thing I want to say to our listeners is that it's a journey and nobody is perfect overnight. You know, I'm still learning. I'm still improving every day in regards to my choices and how I treat my temple, my body. And so don't get frustrated or upset when you fall and make some changes or you feel that you're falling backwards. So that's the first thing. Always keep looking ahead, looking forward to making better choices because you deserve it. Now, when it comes to a lifestyle, it's not a diet, it's a lifestyle. And so it has many components. The diet is one part of it. And so a plant-based diet has been scientifically proven over and over, Ryan, to be the one that promotes the most health. And so how does somebody go to a plant-based diet? Well, it could include things like not eating meat and meat products every day. So maybe saying, okay, I'm going to have one day of the week, maybe Monday, where it will be a meatless Monday. So on Monday, I'll have no meat and I'll replace it with, let's say, beans or tofu or, you know, some other nuts or seeds. Those all have a lot of protein. And then when you go to one meatless day, you may be able to go to two and three and four. So you're having less and less meat as you try to have more plants. Now, as you remove the meat, you want to be careful to also lessen the dairy. Those two foods are highly inflammatory, meat and dairy products. And as you remove those things, you want to increase your fruits and vegetables. You know, Ryan, many of our listeners would be surprised to know that the World Health Organization really promotes having 5 to 9 servings of fruits and vegetables every single day. So Ryan, you should be having 9 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. That's a good amount when you think about it. As a woman, they say I should be having about 5 to 7 servings of fruits and vegetables. A serving is a cup. Thinking of having a cup, you know, worth of salad. Now you have to have about 3 cups worth of salads or steamed veggies. But the World Health Organization has said this is what our aim is. So it's not just, you know, one little doctor in a corner saying, eat your fruits and veggies, but it's the World Health Organization because it makes a big difference in health and long-term outcome. So as we remove the meat and the dairy, we got to increase the fruits and the vegetables. And also, Ryan, processed food is a big, big, big issue in our diets. Our processed foods are part of why we're so sick. And what's a processed food? When you take something that's natural and whole and it goes to the factory and it's changed up, they remove fiber, they throw in some salt, they throw in some oil, they totally change the taste, and it comes out in a bag with a nice, shiny, colorful packaging, and it's like, wow, come and get me. That's processed food. So you take a beautiful sweet potato, and now you have sweet potato chips. Those little chips are no longer any good for us. They are now processed and become addictive because you can eat bags and bags, and you never feel full. Whereas with a sweet potato, you have one sweet potato, bake it, have with some nice steamed broccoli, a little side of black beans. You feel pretty full and you're good to go.
Are you enjoying the What a Word podcast and want to learn how to share it with others on social media? It's easy. Go on your favorite podcast app, find the What a Word podcast and hit share. Please remember to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you won't miss any episodes. And if this podcast has encouraged or inspired you, then please consider leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps new listeners find us easier. Thank you.
Dr. Doc, do you want to address some of the myths that individuals have about this lifestyle change as well?
Yeah, sure. So some of the myths, you know, I think some of the myths are that one, it doesn't work. You know, some people, there are a lot of folks out there saying things like children need to eat meat to get protein. Whoa, where'd they get that from? That's not scientifically sound at all. Or saying, if you want to have big muscles, you got to, you know, have milk and dairy. Where are those studies coming from? Maybe the dairy industry, the meat industry? It's not science. Other things like, I really can't afford to eat fruits and vegetables. Well, I think that if we really are serious about being healthy, we'll try to prioritize more the things that will make us better and maybe shave away some other expenditures so we can get things that are healthy. We don't have to eat ultra organic to be healthy, you know. That's where the dollars really come in. If you switch from fast food and start just buying conventionally grown fruits and vegetables, you'll be doing way better than you were before. So you don't have to go organic to be healthy. That can come later down the line. Eating healthy does not have to be expensive. And if you think of it, Ryan, if we don't make the right choices now, the real expense comes when you have to start seeing folks like me in the hospital. That's where the dollars start to fly out the window. So that's one myth, I think. Eating healthy is too expensive. And then other myths are, I don't have time, you know, to eat healthy. Whole food is the fastest food on earth. If you are hungry, Ryan, and you run into the grocery store and pick up an apple and two bananas, that is as fast as faster than going to Mickey D's and waiting in that long line for their little happy meal. If they still call it happy meals, I don't know. But whole food is fast because it's already packaged and ready for us to eat. And it does take some thought and preparation, but we can do it. We can do it, Ryan. We can be better with better choices every day.
So this lifestyle choice now, I think, goes up against a backdrop of, I would like to say, the public health thought process. And I know you've articulated that one, and I'll just read the quote for emphasis. Here we are. Health and wellness is available to everyone and doesn't depend on your zip code, your bank account, or your health insurance plan. Simple everyday choices over time are what lead to a life full of energy and wellness. Now, this goes against, in my mind anyway, those who make rather powerful arguments that depending on where you live, depending on your income, it's harder to access healthier foods, et cetera, healthier air, healthier options. Are you disagreeing with that, or do you agree that some of these arguments have merit?
No, Ryan, that argument has merit. That quote was my quote.
Yes.
Awesome. You know, I do believe that health and wellness is available to everyone regardless of zip code, because the things that make us healthy are really free to everyone. And that includes air, sunshine, water, rest, stress management, good food and exercise. But your point is very well taken, Ryan. It can be more difficult depending on where you find yourself. And especially in a society like ours where the playing field is unequal for everyone. And so if someone is, let's say, in the inner city where there's tons of pollution and it's difficult to find fresh food anywhere near where you live, and they're hearing violence outside their window on a regular basis, it's difficult to hold on to those attributes that can make them healthier. But I don't want to say that it's impossible to be healthy in that environment, because everybody still has choices. And I believe, let's say in a situation like that, if that person were able to make choices of drinking more water, for example, so instead of drinking soda, they chose water, that would go a far way. You know, not because you're in the inner city means you have to drink soda for your liquid. Water can be a choice. That will go a far way. Most of inner city environments have parks and playgrounds. If they were able to get outside and just walk, that would make a difference. Exercising can be done from devices. Let's say they have a TV or some kind of device to watch exercise programs on. They could do a few jumping jacks or exercises, or they could do a few push-ups. You know, it's not impossible, because these are choices that can be made. I was in the inner city for a while when I came to this country. And so I know it can be rough. It can be scary to even go outside sometimes. You and I spent a lot of times in the inner city, Ryan, in our growing up years after we came to this country. But you can still make positive choices, whatever your environment. It requires will and just sheer passion to have the best that you deserve. So I think, yes, that it's available to everyone, and that no one should feel it's impossible to be healthy because of where they find themselves.
Powerful. And you got my attention a number of months ago, actually, when my kids were getting ready to go back to school. You released a video, and we'll talk a little more about your wellness, Dr. Mom movement. You released a video about increasing, it was the antioxidants, I believe, mm-hmm. in preparation, you know, in preparing our kids to go back to these environments where they could be exposed, et cetera. And that really got my attention. And it seems your work, your ministry, your service has parents bringing children along as well, which is kind of unique to me, because very often when we talk about healthy lifestyle choice, usually with the adults in mind, but you seem to have a passion about bringing children along for the journey. Could you amplify that for me as well?
Yes, Ryan. I strongly believe that as we train our children to appreciate health and the value of their health, I believe that it will help them in the years to come to be healthier mentally, physically, and emotionally. And so many times we stress certain things in our kids for their success, like study hard, you know, do your homework, all, you know, study your books. But some of the basic things that lead to success, we sometimes leave out. For example, how often do we train our children and teach them on how to pick a life partner? We don't even talk about those things, right? But that's a key to success. And how often do we teach our kids about money? Like really how to invest your money so it will multiply? That's a key for success. And how about teaching them how to eat so that, and how to make choices in their sleep and their water so that they will be healthy and be able to feel well and not come down with chronic illnesses? That's a key to success. So I strongly believe, Ryan, that we need to bring our kids along in this journey of wellness, because the more that we learn and they learn in how to be better will make their future brighter. They won't have to struggle with diabetes and obesity and cancer. That will be the last thing that they have to think about. Whereas now it's on the forefront of, even young kids have to worry about these things because they are now developing these chronic illnesses. So I think that's where the change will occur, when we teach our children about how to eat and take care of their bodies.
I want to take you into a discussion of your ministry as well. The thing I want to ask you though before we go there is what has the pandemic amplified for you in terms of what limited options individuals, especially in our communities, because I've seen your presentations and you highlight in very clear ways some of the systemic challenges the poor face, people of color face in terms of accessing health. What has the pandemic amplified for you in terms of your work and service?
Yes, so the pandemic has really brought to the forefront how our people are suffering because of less health opportunities and just poor health in general. From we've been in this continent, this country, our people have had more chronic illnesses and less access to healthcare and less understanding of their health. And as a result, we have had higher rates of diabetes, obesity, hypertension, and that's been known for decades. And as a result of this, when the pandemic hit, we noticed that African Americans were falling like flies. Why were our people doing worse? And then we made the connection. It's because our group suffers the most with chronic illnesses. It's folks with chronic illnesses that do worse with the coronavirus. And that has given me more enthusiasm and more urgency to help our people see that it doesn't have to be like this. If we understand how our body works, if we understand how to make better health choices, we can be free from chronic illnesses, and we don't have to be the ones suffering the most when the next situation like this occurs. So, and even now, while the pandemic is still going on, if our people make lifestyle changes within 10 days, Ryan, 10 days of better choices, eating more plants, getting more rest, drinking more water, having less worry, within 10 days, or immune system will be even more fortified so that we can have a better outcome if we were to get exposed to the coronavirus.
Tell us a little bit about your service. I've been on the website Wellness Dr. Mom on Instagram. I've seen the videos of YouTube. Tell us the why of why you started your ministry and service.
Sure. You know, Ryan, for a long time, I was never on Facebook. I was never on social media. When I would see people on their phones looking at Instagram, I'd be like, what are they doing? Like, I was always the one saying, I don't have time for that. You know, that's not me. But then my sister made a point once that really made things so clear in terms of what I need to be doing. She said that when our pioneers began this movement of Adventism, they had to go with what was new and what would reach the people, and that was the printed press. And so they went into it full force. And so now where people are is on social media. And if you want to help anybody and get any message across, you have to be on social media. So when I heard that, I was like, oh boy, you know, I really have to figure this thing out. So I opened up a Facebook account and I was like, wow, I'm on Facebook. And then after Facebook, I was like, I gotta get an Instagram. And then I was like, oh no, I have to be on YouTube. and so I have really come out of my comfort zone to be in these spaces primarily so that I can help individuals be well. I know that people and individuals do not have to suffer with mental fog, constant fatigue, obesity, you know, all these illnesses, they do not have to suffer with it. And I know what can help them feel better. And so how can I sit in my little space and not get the message out? And so that's why I have, by God's grace, started this ministry. And I could not do any ministry without my family. It just wouldn't be something I could be a part of. And so I knew that I had to involve my children and my husband somehow. And by God's grace, he gave us Wellness MD Mom, Wellness Doctor Mom. And through that, we've been trying to make an impression on parents, children, families, individuals to know that things can be better with one little change at a time.
How has the reception been so far? Because I've watched the videos and, you know, I see this, your sons cooking with you. I see them participating. It's very engaging, very, very relaxed. You know, it's a family oriented. You know, you see that it comes across. How has the reception been so far? Because like you said, you know, YouTube is a whole world. And, you know, when you are... When you're like, you know, I'm an introvert, maybe like I'm shy, you're now exposed to the whole world. What has the reception been though?
It's been positive, Ryan. And I have already been blessed by testimonies of individuals who have made changes and seen differences in their lives. So it's been a positive response. And I know that the Lord is leading us one step at a time. And so if he's leading, he will continue to bless the ministry. And so I'm very happy to continue to do it to his glory.
Where can individuals find you? Give us all the links.
Yeah, sure. So I am able to do a blog every other week on our website. And the website is wellnessmdmom.com. That's wellnessmdmom.com. And on that website, you'll find blogs that address many issues in regards to protein. Well, how can I get protein in my diet? How can I get calcium? Different recipes, plant-based recipes that folks can experiment with, how you make different nut milks. There are also resource sheets on, like, say, my grocery list. You'll see an example of my grocery list every week and my menu planner of what I feed the kids every week. So there are different resources there. I am on Instagram at Wellness Doctor Mom. Wellness Doctor, D-O-C-T-O-R, Wellness Doctor Mom. And you'll see what we do every day in our home. And also on YouTube at Wellness MD Mom, where we do cooking demos. And sometimes I'll give a short lecture on various lifestyle interventions to feel better. So that's, I think that's, oh, and then there's Facebook. Facebook is Wellness MD Mom. So Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and the website.
What about your own family? Any testimonials from the benefits you've seen?
Yeah, sure. So when kids are little, it's so easy to feed them plant-based because that's all they know. So for example, my two-year-old, he loves to eat carrots and cucumbers, and he'll eat beans and peas and porridge all day long, no problem. And that's how they all were when they were 2 and 3 and 4. When they got out to kids' activities, you know, kids' parties, they got to experience different foods, and whoo, things changed. So my 12-year-old, it's more of conversation, trying to educate and to refocus him on why we eat the way we do. But I have to say that he can appreciate it, but he just wants to have. He wants to eat more like his friends in a healthy way. So that's why you'll see on my Instagram posts, I often have pizza because he loves pizza. So I have to find ways to make pizza healthy, plant-based. I don't want him to be sick because I'm trying to help him eat like his friends, but I have to learn to make food that he loves in a healthy way. So with him, I've had to really be more creative, more innovative, but still committed to keeping him healthy. Things like pizza, macaroni and cheese, having him eat his salads, I have to figure out, okay, how does he like veggies? He prefers them steamed. Okay, so I'll steam his broccoli, I'll steam his cauliflower so that he can enjoy it more. So I'm seeing a difference as they get older, but it doesn't mean that I'm gonna give up and say, oh, I give up, go eat your junk food. No. It just means I have to, you know, work with them and educate them so they understand why we're doing it, but and they still love it. If he doesn't love it, he's gonna stop it when he leaves the house. So in the mornings, I don't give him cereal, I make him granola. He loves granola and he knows how to make it himself. So we make a batch granola, and in the mornings he has it with his milk, his fruit, he's good to go. So I've had to, you know, learn as they grow how to keep them healthy. But it's been a journey, that's for sure.
So you're suggesting perhaps then some flexibility, especially for those of us who didn't start off plant-based but are transitioning. We have to really be flexible, especially when we have older kids and maybe a spouse who is taking some time to come around to that type of lifestyle choice.
Yes, yes. I think that's very important, Ryan. We have to be flexible. We should not make it contentious. I went down that road and that did not work. If we start to fight with them and, you know, push this and push that, it doesn't go well. So we have to be flexible. We have to live by example. So they have to see me eating my healthy food and enjoying it and eyeing over it. You know, I have to really enjoy it too. And then we have to try to see how we can make some of their favorite foods healthier. So whatever he loves, he'll say, you know, I think I like hash browns. I saw him eating hash browns at Pathfinders. Can you try that? Yeah, we'll try hash browns. Well, instead of getting, you know, a real oily version of hash browns, we'll get the potatoes, we'll shred them, we'll use a cashew sauce, we'll bake it, tastes good, and it's good for you. So flexibility and really living by example and keeping it fun and enjoyable is important.
Where are you often invited to speak? I'm imagining this ministry, as you've indicated, had to be accessed by individuals who didn't have the information. Where do you almost always find yourself giving these talks and sharing the information?
Well, for many years, Ryan, I've always spoken at various churches in the Connecticut and New York area. You know, I've given many talks on lifestyle interventions there. But now that I've come to social media, I have had the opportunity to give talks to corporations, insurance companies that don't hear this message on a regular basis and are really wowed by the fact that these simple things work. And those are my favorite people to talk to because they just kind of soak it up and they want to know what can they do with this information. So I've had the opportunity to speak to a wider audience, and I really do enjoy it. And I still speak for many churches, Ryan, because I believe everybody should have the opportunity to learn about what will make them healthier in the long run.
And almost finally, I imagine part of the challenge, and we touched on it before, is how does one find a replacement for things that they love currently, but it's unhealthy for them. For example, if, you know, one loves jerk chicken or Manish water or hardo bread, you know, how do we replace, you know, lots of ice cream, you know, sweets? How do we replace these in terms of our palates while living healthy? How do we deal with that challenge?
Yes, yes, Ryan. That's such an important question, an important point. So many of these foods that we've grown used to have been designed to keep us hooked to them. You know, there's a lot of time and effort and money that's poured into keeping us kind of dependent on these foods so that we can't give them up. But I want to let folks know that certainly we can get over these cravings. We can train our taste buds to enjoy foods that love us back. It's very possible and we can do it. And in terms of replacements for things that we're so used to, one of the easiest replacements is milk, especially for children. So I've come across numerous parents who haven't made the connection as to why their kids suffer so much with various ailments. Like, you know, their kid is either always constipated or always having asthma attacks or having really bad eczema. Well, these conditions many times are linked to dairy food. And sometimes parents don't realize that. But when they do, they're not sure how to fix that. Like, what do I do for milk? I would say, if you're currently giving your child milk from a cow, switch to milk from a nut or a seed or grain. So that would be something like soy milk or almond milk. And now they have so many kinds of milks. They have oat milk, rice milk, pea milk. I mean, it's endless. So switch to a plant-based milk. That will really help your child with many issues that they're currently suffering with. And so that's an easy switch. And then when it comes to dairy, things like yogurt and cheese can be switched out for plant-based yogurts and cheeses. Now, these are not cheap, so you have to really look at your budget carefully when you're gonna start buying plant cheese or plant-based yogurt. For me, when I wanna switch out, when I wanna have something yogurty, I use silken tofu and I mix it up in the blender with frozen fruit. And when you're done, you have this nice yogurty consistent that tastes really good. If I want it to be sweet, I add a little bit of honey to it and it tastes great. So things like that, you know, can replace yogurt very easily. When we want ice cream in my house, I use frozen bananas and I put it with some frozen mangoes or frozen peaches, put in the food processor with a little bit of almond milk, zing it up. The ice cream tastes amazing. So whole foods can replace some of our usual comfort foods so that we can still enjoy food and feel great and look great. So definitely do not think it's impossible. It's so possible to be the best you that there is. So those are some simple replacements right there. And it's good to follow individuals who are already in this space because you learn as you see what they're doing. I follow tons of people in the plant-based movement, like Forks Over Knives. You know, you can see different demos of how they cook things, how they make things. The other folks that really help you to get ideas of how to be more creative in the kitchen. So definitely follow folks on Instagram, Facebook, get a good cookbook, and that can really help you along this journey.
Awesome, awesome. So Dr. Kathy and Dennis Yawingu is a wife, mother of four, and an internal medicine physician. She hopes through her service to have individuals make daily positive lifestyle choices. Dr. Kathy, could you please share again your links with the audience? I'll put it in the episode notes for sure, but please share again how they can contact you and maybe how often they can check in for new YouTube videos as well.
Yeah, sure. So for the website, it's wellnessmdmom.com. And you can go there and subscribe so that you could never miss a blog posting. And then for YouTube, it's Wellness MD Mom. And you can also subscribe and never miss a video. Those come out every 2 weeks. And for Instagram, it is Wellness Doctor Mom. And definitely follow so that you can see what we're doing in our kitchen and in our life here every day. And Facebook, of course, is Wellness MD Mom.
Dr. Kathy, thank you so much. I will be sure to put it in the episode notes. Thank you so much for sharing again about your journey. And my hope is that individuals will connect as they transition into making this important lifestyle choice. And even if they don't transition into it, at least they know the option is available if they want to live a healthier lifestyle. Thank you so much. Just finally say something about your family, the age range of the boys, hobby. Give us something about the family.
Yeah, sure. So we have four boys. And my husband and I are really into keeping them grounded and in nature and in the world as much as possible. So the boys are 12, 10, 8, and 3. And we like to have them outside gardening. When it's winter time, we like to have them collecting wood for the fire. We want them to to be real hardy, strong men. But most of all, we want them to have a connection with God and know their purpose in life and why they were created, so they can make the most impact.
Awesome. Dr. Kathy, thank you so much for joining us and for being a guest on the Water Word podcast.
It was my pleasure, Ryan. Thank you. You know, that can be so challenging for us at times, to figure out, where is our niche in life? What should we be doing and where do we belong? How can we make the most impact? And I am now convinced that we make the most impact when we are doing what we love to help others.